putting together the strategic faith development plan. How do you grow kids in the world-changing Christians? Something that I felt again and again was one of the most important things is to teach them how to recognize God's voice. And we need to do that in church and in our small groups and our prayer meetings. We need to do that with our kids, just as the parents and kids and grandparents and kids are doing that now in the hall. It's pivotal. Hear God's voice, trust it, and follow it. I want to read to you this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 22 to 33. I want to share some stories after this passage. Then I'm going to give you the opportunity to listen to God's voice and write it down. And so because the kids have gone out, if we go slightly over time, I think that's okay because parents are out there looking after the young ones. John chapter 10, verse 22. That winter, Jesus was in Jerusalem for the temple festival. One day he was walking in that part of the temple known as Solomon's Porch. And the people gathered all around him. They said, "How long are you going to keep us guessing? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I've told you and you refuse to believe me. The things I do by my Father's authority show who I am. But since you are not my sheep, you don't believe me. My sheep know my voice and I know them. They follow me and I give them eternal life so that they will never be lost. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me and he is greater than all others. No one can snatch them from his hands. And I am one with the Father." Once again, the Jewish leaders picked up stones in order to kill Jesus. But Jesus said, "I've shown you many good things that my Father sent me to do. Which one are you going to stone me for?" They answered, "We're not stoning you because of any good thing you did. We're stoning you because you did a terrible thing. You are just a man, and here you are claiming to be God." My sheep know my voice. Family, I believe that's true. I believe we know his voice. The interesting thing about that is that God is speaking to us all the time. He's worshiping, he's celebrating over us, he's talking to us constantly. The problem isn't, is God speaking? The problem is, are we hearing? And I've so often found that people are hearing the voice of God but not recognizing the voice of God. They're not sure when they're praying, when they're talking, when they're reading scriptures. That's God speaking to me and I can hang, you know, my life on that. I can just claim that and believe for it and move into those things. And so the issue isn't, is God speaking? The real issue is, are we recognizing? Are we hearing the voice of God? In my second year at Ranui, there was a man called Dean. Dean was paralyzed from the neck down, barring his right arm, and had the joy of helping him meet Jesus. And a short while afterwards, a week probably afterwards, I baptized him, which was quite a trick when you're in a wheelchair. So we went to the Council of Paul's and I wheeled him down a slope and I baptized him. And the presence of God was awesome. It was just an amazing day. Over the next 6 months, Dean and I developed a really, really close friendship. And he would run the church website. He would do all sorts of things for the church. The fruit of the Spirit just bubbled out of him. He's such a godly man. And then I was really surprised one day, 6 months down the track after his baptism, he turned to me and he said, "Russell, I don't hear from God." And I was just shocked. How does someone who's full of joy and patience and peace and self-control, how does someone who's so gracious and serving, who's so radically changed by God, say, "I don't hear from God"? And what followed was a conversation that's kind of set a pattern for me. I've had this conversation now with probably 50 people since that time. But it was pivotal. I realized it's not an issue, do you hear from God? An issue is, are people really confident that they're recognizing his voice? So he said, "Russell, I can't hear from God." So I said, "Dean, can I ask you some questions?" I said, "Dean, when you're reading a Bible, just sometimes it seems like there's one or two words that have got vivid over them. Like one or two words just stand out from the rest." He said, "Yeah, that happens to me." I said, "Aha, you know." I said, "Dean, have you ever been working on your computer and while you're doing that, you just felt you had to stop and pray for someone or stop and ring someone up?" He said, "Yeah, that happens to me all the time." And so, "Dean, you know, when you're listening to a sermon or someone in a home group or a visitor, are there occasions where it feels like that is specifically for you? Like when they're talking maybe through a congregation or to a small group, it seems like it's been tailored just for you and where you're at right now? He said, yeah, that happens often. I said, Dean, do you ever have dreams? And wake up and the dream's still vivid in your mind. You may not understand what it meant, but you feel closer to God and the dream's still there. And you say, yeah, that happens too. And I said to Dean, you hear from God, but you're not recognizing the voice of God. You're probably thinking God's just going to yell at you in a loud, audible voice, which is extremely uncommon for people to experience. And if it's not the loud, audible voice, you're saying you're not hearing from God. Dean, you're hearing from God every day. And when you get those whispers in your head or that prompting to pray, you need to say, God, I recognize your voice, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to move in that thing with confidence. I have found that's a repeated story. I'll mix with people, I'll visit people, and they'll say, Russell, I love Jesus, but I'm not sure that I can hear from God. What I think they're doing is saying, I'm not sure that I recognize his voice. I remember my first pastorate in Te Aroha. I was 25 years of age. Juliet had just given birth to Daniel, who had colic, who had glue ear, who cried for 18 hours a day. 18 hours a day. And it wasn't a pleasant experience. And what happened was, as people came for ministry, if I really felt they needed a great revelation from God, even though she was exhausted, I'd say, we need to get Juliet to pray for you. Because she was so good at prophecy. And when she prayed for people, she'd get three or four words and she'd speak it. Then God give her the next three or four words and she'd speak it. And two paragraphs later, the person's bawling and they're healed and God's done some awesome stuff. I found that even though I had a degree in theology, even though I had all this training and I was the pastor, you know, when I prayed for people, I just got a picture. I thought, darn it, I've just got a picture. I better go and get Juliet, you know. And it took me several months of ministry to realize that God can speak to me however he wants. If he gives a words and more words and more words, that's how he speaks. If he gives me pictures, then I should be grateful for my pictures. Then I started saying, well, God, what does that picture mean? And as I translated the picture, he ended up with a couple of paragraphs anyway. What was the point? I was expecting God to speak in a certain way. And the reality is, different people, God reveals himself in different ways. The point is to recognize his voice. His voice will set you free. His voice will change things. His voice will release faith in your life. His voice will release the supernatural. His voice will give hope. We need to recognize his voice however he speaks to you. Interesting how God speaks in so many ways. One of the most significant ways, Colossians 3:15 says, is let peace be your coach. Now, the biggest decisions in my life have probably not happened because of pictures or of long prophetic words, but when I've stood in a place or been in a situation, I've really thought, God, I'm not sure what to do, but I've got a real peace about this. Have you experienced that? I had that about coming here. I had that about choosing which school for my granddaughter. I went to Pyro Bay School, which has got so much technology. It's bigger. She's really gifted at song and dance. Well, they've got extracurricular activities at Pyro Bay. Then I went to Whangarei Head School, which is slightly lower decile, nowhere near the same extracurricular activities. And I had peace at Whangarei Head School. So which school did we choose? Whangarei Heads. I haven't regretted that. As I look back, I know God was in that. All God said was, Russ, you got peace here, and he gave peace to Juliet. I took Anna to school last Friday. She walked down the driveway to school. All these big kids came along and chatted with her and laughed with her. I thought, man, what a community. I've done the right thing. Logically, Pyro Bay had more going for it. The Holy Spirit said, this is the one for your little girl. And it's been so right. Let peace be your guide. God can speak to you in so many ways. Sometimes a feeling will come over you. Sometimes it's just a whisper in your head. And we need to get confident at recognizing God's voice, testing it, and trusting in it. I found even with pre-Christians, when you're counseling people for maybe a marriage situation or an addiction or something, the number of times I've said to a pre-Christian who doesn't even know Jesus, listen, I'm going to ask Jesus a question, and he's going to give you an answer, and he absolutely does. The people who hear God's voice the best, though, are those folk who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those folk have said, God, I don't just want you in me, I want you upon me. You've got total control of my life. And those people seem to be tuned in best to hearing the voice of God. Often they start just exercising their prayer language, but as they trust God with those words, they trust God to give them words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic words as well, and their faith grows. I found one of the best things you can do with a brand new Christian who's just come into the kingdom and received the Holy Spirit is stick them in a Pentecostal prayer meeting. Because when you're in a prayer meeting and they think, oh, can I hear God's voice or not? Suddenly, Ruth Butcher prays something that was on their heart. They thought, well, I had the feeling I should be praying for this. I had a feeling that God wanted me to say that. Then some mature Christian does that, and your faith goes up a few notches. You might be in a group where someone's praying for healing, and there's a mature Christian in that group, and they pray just the way you felt led to pray, but you weren't confident. But they pray that way, and all of a sudden you think, I was hearing from God. And your confidence goes up, and you trust them more and more. When you're listening to God, keep in mind these four C's, and they're in your outline there. First of all, challenge. Very often God speaks to you, it will come in the form of a challenge. He will encourage you to rely on him in the situation you're facing. He'll encourage you to trust him as you step out in faith. He will promise to be with you and to resource you as you go on some faith adventure. Often he speaks through challenge. Just trust me. Have you had that? You're in the middle of a storm, something's going on in someone's health and your family, there's a relationship breakdown, and you pray, and the peace of God comes upon you, and you just feel those words, just trust me. That's God. That's God, and you can. You can just trust him in those situations. Another way he speaks is through comfort. If you're getting a word from God, know that it will always lead you closer to him, towards greater freedom and intimacy with God. Another way that he speaks is through conviction. Often the Holy Spirit will point out an area in your life that he wants you to address. Conviction of sins always accompanied by a promise for forgiveness and the assurance that God's going to help you deal with that problem. The fourth voice you can sometimes hear is not God. And when you get this thought in your head, you know it's not from God, it's from the enemy. And it's the voice of condemnation. If you get a thought in your head when you're praying, and this thought suggests that you're unforgivable, you're a write-off, you've done too many bad things, there's no hope for you, that God's judgment's upon you and you're stuck, that's the end of the story. You need to capture that thought and resist it, and replace it with the truths of the Bible. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Three ways God speaks. Another way, Satan will sound often just like God. It'll feel the same, but it'll bring condemnation. And you know, at that point, to put that aside, it's not from God. Seven quick tips to help you hear God's voice more confidently. Number one, fill your mind with the Bible. I've continually been amazed by people who just soak in Scripture, love the Word, study the Word. They are the people who seem to be able to hear the prophetic so easily. And so often the prophetic comes with pictures from Scripture. And so if they're filling themselves with Scripture and God's voice is coming out, it'll often come out in the language. And the symbolism of Scripture too. Fill your mind with the Bible. Pray in the Spirit. If I get a phone call, someone's dying, or there's a marriage bust up, or someone needs deliverance or something, I'll hop in my car and I'll pray in my prayer language from A to B. And somehow praying in my prayer language just clears out the cobwebs, gets my spirit talking to the Holy Spirit. So when I desperately need a word from God and for God to do something, I'm in the right place. So pray in your prayer language. Pray in the Spirit. Ask God questions. Come to God with a question and be willing to quieten your mind and listen to what he says. I think there's tremendous value in grabbing pen and paper when you're praying. Say, Jesus, what do you think about this? And normally the very first thing that comes to your mind is the Holy Spirit. The highly complicated, confusing one that comes a minute later is probably yourself. But the first thing, Jesus, what do you think? He wants to speak to you. He wants to answer your prayers. Ask him a question and write down what he says to you. Number four, let God talk to you whenever, and I could say however he wants to. I do not believe there's a time in your existence, whether you're asleep or awake, that God's not thinking about you, singing about you, rejoicing over you, or wanting to communicate with you. And so the issue isn't, is God talking to me right now as I drive out to Whangarei Heads or as I grab my fishing rod or as I go shopping at Pack and Save? He is talking, but how is he talking? Is he talking through a person, through an impression, through a feeling, through a picture? We need to be open for God to speak any way he wants to and whenever he wants to. Number five, get your own leading first. As a church becomes to be released in the prophetic, there's a real danger that folk will say, look, I trust this person. I trust that person. So rather than pray and ask God your questions, first you run to that person. So, well, that's a really godly person. I'm going to ask them to give me guidance. Don't do that. You're responsible for hearing from God. And so if you go to a mature Christian or an elder and say, look, would you just test this? Would you confirm this? You should go already having received something from God. If you haven't, you go back and pray. And let those people confirm or direct what you're receiving from God. Let them test it for you. But you're responsible to seek God's face first. Number six, recognize that God's speaking to you. Please don't ever confess over yourself, like my friend did, I can't hear from God. That's just not true. That's contradicting the scripture. Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. Scriptures don't lie. You can hear his voice. You're just not confident in recognizing his voice necessarily. So don't confess something that's contrary to the word of God. Confess instead, my father's speaking to me. My father's got good plans for me. My dad does speak to me. I'm one of his sheep. Confess those things instead. Seventh, surround yourself with people who are experienced at hearing God's voice. As I said before, whether you're a baby Christian, just come into things of the Holy Spirit, you've been in the Lord a long time. Those times when you're tired, those times when you're under stress, those times when there's so much pressure on your life, you're struggling to hear the voice of God, you jump into those prayer meetings. You jump into those home groups. You jump into those situations where people are praying as the Holy Spirit leads them. And your faith will grow. You'll hear them saying the very things God's putting on your heart, and your confidence will grow. Now, friends, what we're going to do is practice hearing the voice of God in different ways this morning. So if you've got your insert with you, that double page insert, we're going to put a scripture up on the screen. Now, I'm going to leave it up there only for 2 minutes. Now, as you look at the scripture, and I'm going to pray just before we do this, I'm going to trust God highlights something from that scripture or speaks to you about somebody or something from that scripture. Okay? So I'm going to pray. So you can look at what's in your outline and also up on the screen. Say, God, what's in this couple of verses for me? What do you want to say to me? And I really believe you'll get something from the Holy Spirit. I want you to write it down. Let's pray together. Father, your word says that your sheep hear your voice and you're true to your word. Lord, you don't lie, so we do hear your voice. So God, as we look at just a couple of verses about the sheep and the goats, would you speak to us, God? What's that saying to us right now in our context? In Jesus' name. Amen. So just read those scriptures from the screen or from your notes. Ask God, what's he saying to you? And just write down the very first thing Holy Spirit gives you, because he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. As soon as I prayed that prayer, God just reminded me of a somebody I helped on Thursday, and God just said, Russell, I took that personally. That's all it is. Simple conversations with God. Let's look at the next question up on the screen. God, is there anybody you want me to talk to about you? Ask God that and just write down the first name that he brings to your mind. Lord, is there anybody you want me to talk to about you? Just write down that person's name or person's names. I'm sure God spoke to you about somebody. Next one. Is there anything that you want to talk to me about right now? Dear Lord, is there anything you want to talk to me about right now? I trust the Holy Spirit to speak quickly. Just write down what he says. Now, friends, when I have a conversation with God and I put it in writing, I try and look back at that conversation during the week. So I found that helpful just to pick up a bit of paper, maybe from Saturday's conversation or another day during the week, and just think about what God said and keep praying for and stepping into that. If God gave you a name and God gave me a name as we're praying, who do you want me to speak to? Make a real effort to go and speak to that person. Realize when you do, Holy Spirit's already gone before you. He's gone before, he's directed you to that person. He's already beginning to work in that person's life and in their heart. I want to speak to you briefly about prophesying over people individually. Scripture says that we can all prophesy. We can all bring an encouraging word, a comforting word, a strengthening word to an individual. Some people, and I would say there's a dozen in this church, who can prophesy to a whole congregation. When people have been doing that for a period of time and there's good character, a few people get recognized by church leadership as being prophets, and prophets can bring a corrective word. Prophets can bring a disciplinary word, and they can go a step further. But everyone can prophesy over an individual. It's just hearing God's voice. Sometimes you'll look at someone, you just feel a real love for them. And you know, you wouldn't call it prophecy, but you know what to say to them as you just look upon them. You think, I really care about that person. And God will give you the words to say. Directions for prophesying over individuals, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in the tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. You can, when you're having a coffee after church, walk up to an individual and say, look, I just got this on my heart for you. Put it humbly. Put it humbly. And just bring a word of encouragement and strengthening and of comfort. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is get you to practice on a very, very godly young man we have in the church. I'm picking on David Miller, this young farmer, because I'm hoping, because he's only been in the church about 6 months, not everybody knows him. So, David, could you come on up? Awesome. I really appreciate you doing this for me, Dave. Really appreciate it. I'll grab a mic over here. Just grab the chair. Bless you, man. It's good to be related to you, Dave. Yes. Awesome. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to get just a few of our really prophetic people just to come and sit in the front seat. So David and Vicky and Liz and Christina and Ruth here already. Adrian and Robbie here already. Gosh, it was neat the other week. Rob was leading worship. And at the end of the bracket of worship, I had a strong prophetic word for the church. And Rob said just what I was going to say. I was sitting on the edge of my seat ready to jump up and say it. And Rob said exactly what I was going to say. And Rob words, but the same message. Okay? Thank you, guys. Just come and sit at the front. Now, these folk don't have to bring a prophetic word over Dave. But I really believe when you're in the atmosphere, people who can move in the prophetic gifts, it becomes easier. Now, anyone in the church would like to have 5 or 6 or 7 words prophetically over Dave this morning. Now, if you come forward from anywhere in the church and bring a prophetic word, David will listen to that. He's a man of God. He will say, I accept that, or I'm not sure about that, or I'll park it. Okay, and he's got the freedom to do that. I've had people prophesy over me. I thought, oh, I'm not sure about that. Then 4 years later, I found out it was totally true and totally accurate. But at the time, I didn't understand. So I just put it aside and remembered it. Okay, so we're going to pray for David. And we're going to ask for God to stir up the prophetic gift in us. And then 5 or 6 people, could be these people, could be people anywhere else in the church, just to come forward and speak a prophetic word over them, okay? And I want you to notice as people prophesy over them, how often you've had that thought and that feeling put upon you too as we're praying. You can hear the voice of God. You're his sheep. And we're living in a community, in a society where there's so many people under pressure, getting knocked, getting put down. The prophetic gift of building people up is so important. To see things from God's perspective, to see a person with God's heart is so important. Let's pray together. Could you raise your hand? Can I get you to sit in the front too? Is that okay? You wonderful lady. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we are very, very grateful for this young farmer on the stage. He's our brother. He loves you. And God, as we look at him and as we pray for him, we ask, God, that you give us unique words for him this morning. That we might learn to hear your voice, recognize it, and trust you to speak it out. Father, give us words that are strengthening, encouraging, or comforting. Show us, God, what his spiritual gifts are and what you want to say to him this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to get you just to look at David. And as God gives you a word, come forward and grab the mic off me. I prayed from before the service. I cheated this morning. And I really had this picture of a farmer walking along a farm race. And the race was the right place. It was the right path. And there were people on the left, there were people on the right saying, David, do this, David, do that, don't do this, trying to give him advice. And David was saying, I am walking the right way, God's way. And so when I take that picture and put it in the prophetic word, I'd say to David, David, your Father in heaven sees you as a man of integrity. You're not swayed by the crowd. You're not swayed by peer pressure. You're going to do what's right in his eyes no matter what. So your dad takes joy in your integrity. Make sense? Anybody else? Liz, bless you. Thank you.
I'm really excited by that because I felt the word God has for you is that you are unique. God has made you the way you are. And for quite a few years, you've looked at other people and you've compared yourself to them and you've said, I wish I was this or I wish I could do that more. And you're always comparing and putting yourself down. And the Lord says, I have made you unique. Amen. I have made you with your own talents, your own strengths and your own abilities. And I will build them up and I will teach you how to love yourself. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Liz. Brilliant. Anybody else? Thank you, Vicky. Yeah. Pleasure.
I just feel God is saying to you that I love you. You know my love and I really, really love you. Take it to your heart. I shall never, ever leave you. You are mine and I have great promise for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome, Vicky. That's brilliant. Thank you. Oh, yes, Rose. Thank you.
I actually had a picture, David, and it was like one of the rooms that Roseanne had been talking about, but this one was a room called Business. And in that business, it's a God room, and God blesses that business. Terry was reading just to me this morning about Isaac, who his farming produced 100-fold, and that was because God's favour was upon it, and God's favour is upon you and your business.
Awesome, Ruth. Brilliant, Dave.
Yeah, David, I don't know if you know, your name in the Bible means beloved of God. And I really think you are a beloved of God. Mm. In the future, when things would go wrong, which they always do in everybody's lives, just remember your name that God has given you. Not your parents, God gave you that. Beloved of God.
Amen. Awesome, Dave. Christina? Thank you.
When I looked at you, I saw an angel behind you. And I said, Lord, that's a biggie. Who's that angel? And then it was Michael. Okay. And the Father wants you to know that before that I saw this picture of you on a farm with a lot of sheep and you standing there like amazed. But then the Holy Spirit started talking to you and showing you and telling you, hey, look in the middle of all those sheep, there's that goat dressed with sheep's clothing. And then I looked at Michael again and I said, what's he doing behind him? This is your answer. You will go through tough times. The Father says, you are so special to me. Michael's going to bring the answers down for you.
Awesome. Thanks, Christina. Adrian. Thank you. Excellent.
David, you're a very tall young man and I've seen you in worship in this church, and your head stands up above the crowd because you're so tall. And that's you in the physical, but what I think God's saying to you this morning is that he wants you to be a tall tree spiritually. Amen. As you grow, as you put your roots deep down into God's word, He's going to make you strong and a tree that people will see and come to be under the canopy of who you are. And in that place, they will find comfort and strength and help. So grow yourself into God's word and know that He's going to make you a giant.
Fantastic, Adrian. Thank you. Ken, yep. Awesome. Thank you, brother. Thank you, my friend.
Praise the Lord. The first word that came to me was shepherd's heart, and then I said to the Lord, well, what do you mean by that? And it reminds me that so the Lord took me to scripture in Samuel 17:34, and David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried them off from the flock, I went after it, seized it, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. And I just sense, you know, okay, you're not a big guy. You're a fairly quiet guy that I've sort of, in the little bit of time I've spent alongside you at the men's group the other night. And but I just feel that you have that heart that David had. You know, you have that heart for righteousness, and that God has put the spirit, His spirit in you to stand up for that. And any, and to stand against this uncircumcised Philistine spirit, and that you're not afraid to take a hold of that lion or bear or whatever it is that comes against God's spirit. And so I just want to speak that life into you, brother, and thank you for that word.
Awesome, Ken.
Hi, David. I saw of you a man of faith, and but you get to have fun learning what that means. And you will face challenges, but be just hang on to God and learn what faith means, because it will mean different things in different situations. It always means hanging on to Jesus, believing Jesus. Awesome. The other thing I got from you is for Psalm 139. And it is a psalm about God knowing you. He's knowing you from before you were conceived. And this psalm, I'm not going to read it all out now, but I really want you to meditate on it and start claiming some of the promises in it, because you are a man of faith.
Awesome, Roseanne. Thank you. Yep. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. You'll be right. Just sound like it's perfect.
Just as you were sitting up there, I saw you smile, and this beautiful big smile you have. I see your face light up, and I just feel all you need to do is smile at people, and the Holy Spirit's light just shines out from you, and that'll talk to people, your smile.
Awesome. Thank you, my sister. Okay, friends, there might be other people with a word for Dave. I've got two mics here, Mike, making it hard for you. And if you've got a word for Dave, you want to share with him afterwards, please do. I'm going to speak God's blessing on him, get you to say amen to it. After the service, remember, if you've been doing the 40 days of targeted prayer, there's an evaluation form on Marion's information table. Please fill that and leave it for Roseanne. And if you're willing to give a testimony on video about that 40 days of targeted prayer too, please catch up with me and Roseanne after the service. Let's stand together. I'm going to speak God's blessing on this godly man, then I'm going to pray for us as a church. Thank you, Father. Father, all your promises for David are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And we declare, Lord, a great life before him. That God, he would be a man of faith, a man of righteousness, a man that would have a good self-esteem, a man that would experience and walk in the love of God, a man that would prosper in his business, even from a young age. Father, we bless him as a church. We thank you, Lord, he's part of us. Thank you, God, that he's part of the team here, reaching out to this community. We ask, God, in the days ahead, your love upon him, your presence around him would just increase, that he'd be blessed, truly blessed, from the top of his head to the tip of his toes, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for each other standing up here this morning. Lord, would it be that the things prophesied over this church, the gift of the prophetic being released in our midst this morning, Lord, would not be quenched. We would not look down at the ground, would not look back at what we've been, but would look forward as a church to what you're calling us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless your family. Thanks so much, Dave. Thank you.